Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Sister C, your own Sister C, here in the place to be, as you know. Today, we are going back to something that we've done a few times, and it's called a 3P2C interview. And one of the first and oldest people to do that type of interview is Neil Ryan. He's our guest today. But before going a little too fast, we're going to have Jesse present our land acknowledgement.
Thank you, Charlotte. Today's show is produced on the unceded and ancestral territories of the Hunkaminam and Squamish-speaking peoples.
And here we have our featured guest, Neil Ryan, who represents all three of the things we're talking about. He has a new project. He's got a lot of passion. He has a purpose. Neil, and you have an interesting idea about age. So tell us a little bit about your project and passion.
Hi, Charlotte. Wonderful to see you again.
Yes, you have a new project, and you have a lot of passion behind it. And part of the thing that's amazing to me about your new project is your age. You are going into 85, but what do you? You have a kind of thing that you feel about age.
Well, my thing about age is that we've been lied to that in fact that we're old at certain age and so forth, but hey, I got a body that's fully functional and I don't have any aches and pains anywhere. So is that because of my belief, or is that because of my diet? I'm an omnivore. I don't have no special diet. I do belong to the senior mobility program at University of British Columbia. They give me a schedule of when I need to exercise. I try to do that. They have me going for a 2K walk every day. But I'm happy if I get 3 days a week. Even 2 days a week that I get to do my UBC exercise. It's at the University Hospital in downtown Vancouver. So the bottom line of all of it is that you are what you believe. And when I was 82 and took my motorhome south for the winter, I realized that it's what you believe that's important. What you believe in the inside. It's not just simply positive thinking. It's what is behind that. What is the bottom line belief about who you are and how you are? And that trip taught me that what's important is what you believe, because that's, and I'm learning that quantum physics tells me that your mind manifests. Hey, we can go back to 3,000 years when the Buddha was around, and the Buddha's words are, all that you are arises from your thoughts. Mm-hmm. With your thoughts, you make the world. So it's not just what you force yourself to believe. It's what you really truly have written in stone in the wall, in the wall in your mind.
Now, speaking of what you've written and encased in the wall of your mind, you mentioned going down into the States, but that would lead us an opportunity for you to share what your project is, because you have persevered more than many people to get that project going. Tell us a bit about your project.
Well, As a matter of fact, why I went south into the U.S. was to promote my book that's called From the Other Side. Now, From the Other Side is a collection of 60 poems and 3 short stories based on the idea that it's difficult to be a human being in this world. And it's got 60 poems, 3 short stories, several, I think it's around 40 haiku, which are just 3-line poems. And they're not exactly, technically, they're not a haiku. A few of them are. But most of them are just anecdotes, just little thinking about life. And there's a few, very few quotes from poets. But this 4 lines basically says what is really interesting, because this book is written about love. And here's a quote from Rumi, who's a Persian poet from the 1200s. And that is, "Through love, all that is bitter will be sweet. Through love, all that is copper will be gold. Through love, all dregs will become wine. And through love, all pain will become medicine." And that's really the intent of this book, is to carry that message out into the world. And I will probably wind up reading a poem or two, but that basically carries the message that I'm trying to convey through my book called From the Other Side.
And one of the messages that comes from that book, your process with the book is when you first, well, a lot of people are told, you know, if by 50, if you haven't written a book or got it published, then it's over and done. But you persisted through what age? What age were you when you published that?
I was 76 when I wrote my first poem. I did write one poem the day my father died, and it's actually in that book. But I didn't do anything. This is from when I was, I don't know, 37 till I was almost 77. So, make a long story short, is that this became, how do I get the words of wisdom that are powered through me? And that's why it's called From the Other Side, is because all these poems that are, these 60 poems that are, they're all given to me from the other side, and I have no idea what that is. But to get back to your question, my current project is that I have another book called The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery, and it's at the printer. The galley proofs have been sent back to them with the corrections, so in the next 2 weeks, they say there should be a week from now, they'll send me the revised galleys, and a week from then, the book will be at the publisher, at the printer. So it's called The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery. And back, I was maybe 5 years ago, Michelle is my best friend, and she was busy with not only doing another master's degree, but she had a full-time job. And I said, I'm going to England for 6 months. I'll be back. We were living in Montreal at the time, and I took off to go to England. And what I was after was, my father was born in England, so I wanted a British passport. I don't know why, but anyway, there was another adventure all on its own. I went off to England to get my father's passport, my passport, courtesy of my father. And I'm sitting on the beach, and somebody comes along and sits down beside me. I'm literally just sitting there minding my own business. And this woman begins to ask a whole bunch of questions. What am I doing here? Who am I? Where am I from? Yada, yada, yada. And when she got up to leave, I said, I'm wondering what the next adventure is. And she turned and looked at me and said, write a book. Mm-hmm. So I took that as advice and started writing a poem that's in this book. And it's called The Church with No Windows, No Doors, and No Roof.
I remember you shared that poem with us once. I think it was close to Remembrance Day. But yes, share that.
The church with no roof. A boy stood at the doorway of the church with no roof. It also had no windows. It also had no doors. The walls still stood, but between them lay the rubble. Just yesterday, it was a whole church with a roof and windows and doors. He had walked by here just yesterday on his way to school, as he does every day on his way to school. Just yesterday, it was a whole church with a roof and windows and doors. Just yesterday, his world was a whole world that had roofs and windows and doors. Just yesterday, he had a father that he proudly marched alongside as the soldiers, two by two, passed by the church and boarded their train to fate. But this day is different. The church has no roof, and he no longer secure where his father is. Just yesterday, his pride was whole, with the certainty of a roof and windows and doors. Mother says he will be safe in the underground, but he feels his mother's fear that teaches him to be afraid of those he knows not. The confusion of emotion with the love for some and vengeful rage at others. He dare not think they hate him so and wish his family dead. But yesterday, his emotions were whole, with a roof and windows and doors. He had a place inside where he hails the fear-filled feelings. The uncertainty of existence must not show. He dare not think what horrors might befall him as he sleeps. He dare not ask, why do the others hate us so? When just yesterday, his love was whole, with a roof and windows and doors. His fleeting thoughts. I don't want my dad to be dead. I don't want the bombs to hurt my mom. I need to protect her. There is only one mother and one father allowed per family. All the rest are strangers. And just yesterday, his family was whole, with a roof and windows and doors. He lives on a street where the houses have roofs and windows and doors to keep out the dampness and the cold. Just yesterday, he had a mom and a dad to holiday with and to be safe. But today brings the knowledge his world has been bombed. Where just yesterday, this world was whole with roofs and windows and doors. It's the same world, but his view has been shattered. this child's soul has been hurt. The world is now unsafe. It is a place where bombs are dropped, and with the intention to kill and destroy. Just yesterday, this church was a whole church with a roof and windows and doors. For a moment, I was that boy as I stood before the entrance to the church in Portsmouth, England, thinking of the child who stood in this experience of here, of learning at the entrance to the church with no roof and no windows and no doors, standing in front of any church or temple or mosque, and imagine it with no roof and no windows and no doors. Imagine a boy or a girl in that, of any nation, in any culture, in any language, standing there, where just yesterday, for them, their world was whole, with roofs and windows and doors.
Wow, you took us to that place. I wonder, you know, people tell people who want to write a whole lot of rules. You know, you have to stick with this style, stick with that style. But in your book, there's a compilation of different styles. You say, who taught you to write like that? Or who gave you permission to write like that? Does something come from the other side and talk to you when you're sleepy?
I wish. I earn my living by doing, I'll put quotation marks around, by doing consulting work. So when Simon Fraser decided to, one of the professors would invite, would invent a new something, a new breathing mask for ambulance drivers to be able to revive people. They would want to know what's the value of this in a commodity type world. And I would do a management consulting job for them to say, oh, okay, that's what this is worth, and this is where the market is, and this is what the competition is. And so I did that with governments, with businesses, with UBC. I did it with the Alberta government. I did it with the BC government. I did it. That's how I earn my living. And to be able to convey some innovation, I learned how to write documents to convey information. And so when I started writing poetry and I had an idea of what it was that I was going to share, I learned from my experience of giving people information, I learned how to give information so they understood. So I many times got compliments from my clients about how clearly the information was conveyed to them. And so I that was my job. I wanted to convey good, solid information and not just praise a product because the inventor was a nice guy.
Okay, well, it seems as part of your passion is to turn on the permission in other people to feel that you don't have to be this style, because there are many different styles of writing within your book, but to give permission to yourself to let the words that something wants to come through, whether it's from the other side, whether it's from a class that you've taken, but you really seem to be passionate about turning the keys that unlock people's willingness to talk about and share their stories.
Charlotte, what I learned to write is as though I was having a conversation. Because when we have a conversation, my intention is that you understood what I'm trying to convey to you. That's important to me. And so with that as the belief that says, I need to convey these ideas, these thoughts, I need to convey them so that my recipient can hear. I'm not trying to impress them with big words and complicated sentences. I'm trying to get them to understand what it is I'm trying to say. And in that idea of conveying the information to the person, so what I have in my mind right at the outset is, how do I get the person that I'm chatting with to get to understand my intention, my idea? And in doing so, I have many compliments about my writing, is because I'm trying to convey myself to them so that they understand. So I'm not smarter or anything. I'm just trying to make sure that they understand my point of view or my idea or my thoughts. And gratefully, the muse that gives me the poems, the muse that sends me the words and that I write down, gratefully is she understands. That's my intention, is to be understood. So
one of the things, you know, that's also unusual about From the Other Side is that it has stories, and part of your process was entering competitions. Could you share, I think there was one about ghosts. There were so many interesting stories, but can you tell how that connects with your process? Because it's a small book, but it feels like it's a volume, just volumes of experiences and suggestions.
Well, it's 100 pages, so you're right. It's a small book, but I wasn't trying to create a tome. I was trying to get my thoughts out into the world. But the question that you're asking about is the Brighton Tarot Card Mystery. Is that there's one novelette? It's 2,000 words. So it's the first 30 pages of the book from the Brighton Tarot Card Mystery. But then there's 12 short stories, and I'd say 9 of the 12 were entries into a poetry contest, and were restricted by the rules of the contest to 900 words mostly. Some of the poems of the 9 that were contest applications, contest entries, some of them are 700, one of them is 750, and a couple of them are 800, but most of them are just shy of 900 words. And they are a full range of topics.
I did want to say, when you mentioned you were in these contests, a lot of us have experienced false contests. They collect people's stuff. But Writers Weekly is the source that has had this annual contest where people have 24 hours to write sometimes a story, sometimes it's a poem. So Neil is going to be sharing one of those that was included. It was a winner in the contest, and then it was also included in this new book.
The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery is only short stories. The contest is quarterly. I also entered the CBC has a writer's contest, both in a short story and poetry, and I've entered them as well. But not all of them were winners, but they were all good stories. So I put them together along with the novelette, which is the story, The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery, which is a delightful romp through Brighton, England, as a police detective trying to track down the thief of a deck of tarot cards, and it winds up at the end when the story winds up offering a spiritual look at the idea of tarot and the fact that tarot is really a reliable methodology of understanding the field. And quantum physics, to get a little bit scientific, quantum physics says every experience is a field, and it's the energy of the field that dictates the anyway, you have to look that one up, because I just know from my work with intention that when you create the intention, you create the opportunity for the field to manifest your intention. And that's really an exciting field that I'm currently exploring as I learn more about the field of tarot cards and its ability to provide information. That's all tarot is. It's like the I Ching, the Chinese, which I really love. I love the Chinese I Ching. It's called, that's the coins. But that's totally off topic. So let's go back to the Brighton Tarot Card Mystery. Is about tarot and the ability to predict outcomes. But I think what you were referring to is a poem that I wrote I belong to a poetry group out of Michigan, and I think you know about the Blue Water Poetry. I read a poem to the group last night. It's on every week, and I would like to share it with you.
Okay.
If you. The poem is called "On the Day That I Die." On the day that I die, I want it to be raining, a slow, gentle rain. One that nurtures and softens the receptive earth, so that the energy of my love will penetrate deeply into the soil. On the day that I die, I want the softened Mother Earth to accept my love in appreciation for all the gifts that nurtured, clothed, and sheltered me in all the forms it bestowed upon me in this lifetime. On the day that I die, I want one of my books to be a bestseller, not for the fame and fortune it will bring, but for the love and compassion they share in this time of need for love and compassion. On the day that I die, I want all of my friends and loved ones to be deep in their own experience of adventure, ones that teach them to be grateful in this self-inflicting wounding called life. On the day that I die, I want the rope that ties me to this existence to sever easily and quickly, without drama and pain, far away from the sound and fury that echoes throughout this passion play. On the day that I die, I want to remember the log cabin at Orient Bay, where all the adventures of my life began, and I want a headstone left there, carved with three words. No names, no dates, just the inscription, "The adventure continues." Thank you.
Wow, the adventure continues.
Hey, I was up at the park, which is two blocks from my house. There's a lake. There's two lakes, as a matter of fact. And I was standing at the entrance to the park, because that's where I do my SFU walk, because it's exactly 1.8 kilometers from my home and back to my home. So that's my walk for my SFU, my UBC exercise. And I'm standing at the entranceway, and it's raining softly. And I'm thinking, as I go to walk into the park, I'm thinking, what a gift this is. It's two blocks from my house. It used to be a coal mine 100 years ago, and the forest that's around the two lakes were left alone. They weren't cut. And I have this gift in front of me, and I'm saying thank you. And then the words came to me: on the day that I die, I want it to be raining. So when I got home later that afternoon or evening, I sat down and wrote the poem. And what I read to you came almost perfectly the words that I shared. I think I made two small edits, and that's how my poetry comes to me. The poem "Siddhartha by the River," I wrote that poem. I was invited to do a talk on Hermann Hesse, who wrote. He was a Nobel Prize winner for literature, but he wrote another book, which is one of my favorites, called Siddhartha. And I prepared the lecture, and I sat down and wrote almost two pages of the poem Siddhartha, because I had just finished writing about Hermann Hesse, and this poem came to me. Now, where did that come from? It came from the other side. It must have, because I didn't start out the day by saying, "Oh, I'm going to write a beautiful poem today." It came to me, and so I don't know who my muse. I think she's called my muse. I don't know where she's from, but that's the gift that is given to me, is that I get to write poetry, and my intention is. Yeah, I'd love to have a bestseller and lots of money from it, but my intention really at the bottom line is to have people realize what a gift this life is, and it really is all about learning to love, because the more that we give out love, the more that love comes back to us. And I'm greedy. I'm honestly greedy. I love sharing my words. And especially when I finish a poem and the recipient says, "Wow, that delights me."
I can imagine. I mean, different times that we've had pop-up poetry, different times that we've had people write a poem for a special event, you've always contributed. I was asking Jesse, has he ever been motivated to write a poem like that? And he was saying,
No. not an interesting response. I don't know that I ever have. But it's you know, as you said, it can be a scary topic. But it also, you know, you don't learn anything by staying in your shell and being afraid of what you might find out. So it's a good thing to mull over and maybe a good prompt for myself.
Jesse, I have words of love for you. You're really, really wonderful to work with. You're so open-hearted and so open-minded that you're a gift to me. When I go up to this on the hill and go to the studio with you, it's a thrill for me. It really, I come away smiling every time.
Well, thank you, Neil. It's lovely to be with you every chance I get, for sure.
That gives an opportunity for us to mention one of the things that is a true benefit of being a member of our station, a listener of our station, because there are notes around saying we welcome volunteers. I came to be a part of this station because I had been at an event, a cultural event, and there were these flyers talking about dancing on Saturday afternoon, and I thought, wow, it would be great to have some place you could go and dance in the afternoon. It would be safe and so forth. So I followed the directions on the flyer, and it brought me on to Simon Fraser's campus, and to my surprise, I didn't see a nightclub. There was this glass wall, a window, and on it there were signs saying we are welcoming volunteers, and anyone who volunteers and completes the volunteer program would be eligible to have a show. So I, 7 years ago, picked up that that word, one of the things that I was doing in the community was doing a podcast, hosting a podcast for the 411 Senior Center. And we had to teach and recruit people over 55 to take part in podcasts about topical issues. Well, Neil joined that. But after a while, he said, I think I'd like to do that. I'd like to have a show. I'd like to have those skills. And then Jesse, being one of the trainers, said, we can make that happen. So he has been a guest. He has helped create, Neil has created some segments, and he's also recruited people. So many people, when they get an opportunity to do something with media, they keep it to himself. But if you want somebody to tell the world, tell Neil, and he'll tell everybody through each channel, everywhere he has an opportunity. He comes over from Nanaimo to Vancouver, for a weekly or biweekly meeting. He is present and supporting of the many other people's programs. So I'm going to ask him about one of the other things that you are passionate about in exhibit, and that is persistence. A lot of people send out their material for, whether it's for a contest, or send out their material hoping that an editor, our publishing company, will pick it up. Some people send out proposals that people spend money on. But Neil has experienced those, but has gone through to not only getting his first book published, but this new book. But can you tell us, we kind of followed you for a few months as you were traveling across the United States with a case of books, selling them at the Seawall and other places. Could you share a bit of that adventure? The persistence.
Yeah, that was an adventure, I tell you. From parking on the dock in San Francisco and going for a walk and saying to the people sitting on the bench, I say, "Do you like poetry?" And he says, "No, I don't think so." I said, "Hey, I've written a book, and I'd like to share some of the poetry with you." And before I left, he bought it for X amount of dollars. He gave me $20. I gave him a signed copy of my book, and went on to the next. And I sold 50 books, one at a time. And the most exciting for all of them was I was parked beside the Colorado River in Page, Arizona. And a woman walking her dog went by, and I got out of the motorhome and said, "Excuse me, would you do me a favor and take a picture?" And we started a conversation. She said, "What are you doing traveling all by yourself?" I said, "I'm promoting my book." And she said, "You have copies of your book?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "Tell me about them." So by the time I explained the book and what it was about, and the fact that it had three short stories about soul, and she said, "I'll buy the book." And she went to get $20 out of her car. And I got the book and signed her name to it. But I didn't give it to her. When she came back, I opened the book to the poem called Siddhartha by the River. And here I am selling my book to a client, a customer, parked beside the Colorado River, reading to her, and I read her the poem, Siddhartha by the River, and then I gave her the book. And what a thrill that was to read one of my favorite poems to a person who's buying my book as we stand beside the Colorado River in Page, Arizona. I mean, that happened so many times that I started now, whenever I sell a book to anybody, I ask them if I can share a poem with them before I give them the book. And I just open the book anywhere, and the poem is always appropriate to the situation. You know, that's why I've come to learn that my job is to get my poetry out in the world. That's my job, and that's my purpose. And I don't need any more information. I have a small business card that has a picture of my has the title of the book on one side and has a description of the book on the other side. And I give it to people. I take the ferry boat over to Vancouver, which is an hour and 40 minutes that I'm on my way, and I will give out my card, maybe 5-10 cards I will give out on the ferry boat ride. My job is to get the words of my book out into the world. And one side of my card offers half a dozen free poems about one of them is called It's All Music, and that's a description that says everything's a vibration and it's all music being sung to us by the universe. And I share that book. And Jesse and I did an interview as I went south. And a short description when I came back, and I did a radio interview in California at Aurora Grande in California. I did it both on the way down and on the way back. Hey, life's an adventure. You open the door to adventure, and life will bring you the adventure that you're looking for. I'm nobody special. I really am just a plain, small town boy from Northern Ontario. And after the war, I spent 5 years in a lumber camp when I was 5 years old till I was 10 years old. So I learned how to learn all on my own, with the help of my mother, who had a grade 3 education, and learned to read and write. And my father was good with words, so I learned from him about words. And that's been my life. is sharing ideas, and I continue. Do we have enough time? I'd like to share Siddhartha by the River.
Oh, of course. I want to make a comment just around what, for listeners to really put this picture in their head, because so many people tell you why you can't get published, or if you haven't made it by a certain age, that's it. The persistence that I've observed with Neil when he was at events within Vancouver, but then this vehicle that he was talking about was a, what, 20 foot?
Yeah, 22 foot.
22 foot vehicle. I was in Los Angeles at the time. He passed through California, and he was on one of the most dangerous, crazy highways in the world. going 65 miles an hour, and I thought, oh my God, he's going to get crashed. But he didn't. The persistence, there were snowstorms, there was problems. He had to drive through the mountains in Sedona. Just driving a regular car through Sedona gives me a chill. So I want you to really be encouraged and envision someone who at the time were 82? Was that when
well, you... it was 2022, and yeah, what was last year? I was actually 23 before I got back home again. I was 22 when I left, but I was 23. I spent 6 months traveling in the U.S. And there's a little vignette I have many of these little short 4 lines, 3 lines, and one of the ones I'm looking for, one of the ones that basically says that when you have a thought and your cheerleader says you can't do that, you're too old, then fire that cheerleader and get one that encourages you and go for it.
I like that. Because there are some people that just seem like it makes their day to discourage you or to tell you why it's too long or you waited too long, but you are a consistent advocate and cheerleader to go ahead, take your words, take your songs, get out there and do it. Sing your song, do your dance, and read your poem. So we are going to hear Siddhartha.
Okay. Siddhartha by the River. I am Siddhartha by the river, surrounded by beauty, living quiet in peace, contemplating the many gifts of the universe. I am Siddhartha by the river, meditating on the delicate essence of internal peace that arrive only in small moments amid the fury and the frenzy of the day. I am Siddhartha by the river, cautious about which thought is a teaching, and even more cautious about which thought is a seduction. I am Siddhartha by the river, noting that all dogma with their vested myths and vested interests have inaccurately guessed at the truth. So there is no teacher who can show me the way. I am Siddhartha by the river, seeking to follow the path where there is no path, concluding that there is no route to enlightenment save my own. I am Siddhartha by the river, amazed at the story people create out of their myths, beliefs, and experiences, then blame the other, unable to see themselves as both cause and effect. I am Siddhartha by the river, wanting to be humble and knowing that wanting is always a distraction from the now, wanting to be wise and knowing that too is a deviation from the now. I am Siddhartha by the river, believing life is a river, ever emerging, ever changing, ever becoming new, flowing from experience to experience to experience. I am Siddhartha by the river, watching all things attempt to seduce my ego by telling me I am apart and separate from the other, watching the connectedness of all things and observing that the river and the forest come together through me. I am Siddhartha by the river, watching the creation and then the passing of all things, seeing that without the light and the dark, life is without purpose. I am Siddhartha by the river, grateful that within this universe there is the presence of love, while waiting to die and do it all over again. I am Siddhartha by the river. Thank you.
What a beautiful set of thoughts. Things, good food to digest, good food to, well, I'd say good material for dreams at night. So much people are taught to be afraid of death in the night, but this is just so elevating. Thank you. Now, we said that we have an announcement to make. There's something special happening with your book. Would you tell us the name of the book, where people can, the website of where they can obtain the book, but just that it's being published. There's an actual new publication of the book, which means that there's a publisher who is very confident in it. But I won't tell the story. Neil, tell us about the book and the big thing that's happening.
Well, first off, From the Other Side, that's available on Amazon. There's a couple books on Amazon called From the Other Side or a variation thereof, and so you have to ask for From the Other Side, and my name is Neil, N-E-A-L-L. My mother couldn't spell. And my last name is Ryan Rion. It's R-Y-O-N. And it's available on Amazon right now. It has been for since I did my trip. But the other book, The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery, there's a book release happening. It was originally the 28th of November, which was Thanksgiving U.S. Thanksgiving. But I insisted that they make some changes, so they need another book. So it'll be the 5th of December. My book will be available on Amazon, and it'll be available through Primix, and that's spelled P-R-I-M-I-X, Primix Publishing, and they're out of Baltimore, and they took my book to the book festival in Frankfurt, Germany, which is the largest book festival in the world. And I'm hoping we have a major distributor throughout Europe to take my Brighton Tarot Card Mystery book into the other half of the world. So I don't know what to say. I will be issuing on my web, on my face page, when exactly and what exactly. But there will be a new edition come at the beginning of the year. It will be available on ebook. I've got a deep desire to do it, in audiobooks as well. I have allowed the book to have its own way, its own path. I've just wanted to keep putting it out in front of people, is to keep reminding people that this experience called humanity is about learning to love. That's what my books, both of them, are saying. It's about learning to love. And that's not the easiest thing, because we've had very few teachers in our lifetime that knew how to love themselves. Okay. And as one of my poems says, the beginning is when you learn to love yourself, and then you can love the world.
Well, I want to thank you for loving us enough to spend time sharing your work, sharing examples, and just sharing that we all have the opportunity to contribute to a healthier, happier, more loving world. Thank you, Neil Ryan. We will be hearing later more about this adventure of your new book, Brighton Tarot Cards. And I just thank you for letting our station be a vehicle for sharing that notion of we are all able to share more love in the world. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful book launch.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love.
Thank
you. Time. Poem time. Love time. Poem time. Love time. Poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time. Poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time. Poem time. Time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes, and play bassoon. Love time, poem time. Time for poems, poets, and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time.